There's buying a home and then there's buying a home in Ireland. It's stressful, emotional, wildly expensive, and for many it feels like playing a game where the rules are never quite clear. The people running the game, the estate agents, sit at the bottom of the National Trust League table. So why don't we trust them? Are some practices inside the industry pushing up prices? And what needs to change so that buyers aren't left in the dark? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Tara Duggan. Today's podcast is about trust, transparency and the way we buy and sell homes in this country. At a time when prices are rising, competition is fierce and supply is nowhere close to demand. The average home in Ireland now costs €426,000. That's 8 times the average income, according to myhome.ie. Property prices are up nearly 5% in the past year, with a fifth of homes selling for 20% above their asking price. Proof, it seems, that the bidding wars are very, very real. The consumer watchdog, the CCPC, found only 22% of buyers actually trust estate agents. So what's happening inside the industry? And is it really fair to lay the mistrust at the feet of the estate agents? Now, first up, we'll talk to somebody who's literally right at the centre of all that, Ronan Crinion, founder and managing director of Move Home. Later, we'll hear from Kieran Mulqueen of Crazy House Prices, a man who talks to frustrated buyers every single day. First, though, Ronan, to start with, what do you actually have to do to become an estate agent? Is it a tightly regulated industry here?
It is a regulated business, Dara, and thankfully we have the PSRA, the Property Service Regulatory Authority, that is trading for about 12 years and has the task to manage and monitor all estate agents, make sure they're fully licensed and registered, and make sure they're compliant, all right, with the codes of practice. And that has eradicated a huge percentage of, I would say, cowboys, all right, that used to trade and would just go to courts every year to get their license, as was happening over 20 years ago.
You're saying cowboys operating over 20 years ago, and you're saying the Property Services Regulatory Authority coming in 12 years ago. So we're talking kind of like pre-boom and post-boom here.
We are. And that fundamentally changed the property market. And I think it was just by coincidence, right, that the PSRA was getting established around the mid-2005, 2006. And that was just by coincidence. It was corresponding with the property crash. But that was global, okay? So it wasn't down to the Irish market. It was a huge correction for the property market. And a lot of estate agents went out of business. A lot of auctioneers didn't go and apply for positions or study to advance in the career. So there was a lull for many, many years in the property business.
And on that topic, do you need specific qualifications, or can anyone, could I just decide I want to be an estate agent next week and set up shop?
No, you need to do a course, and it's either a 2-year or 4-year course, and you need to complete the relevant qualifications, such as a course in estate agency and auctioneering practice. That will obtain a license from the PSRA, the Property Service Regulatory Authority, or alternatively, you can gain 3 years of relevant work experience with an estate agent on a full-time basis, and then you will be awarded a license.
And is that qualification retrospective? Do people who maybe were operating as cowboys 20, 25 years ago, do they still need to fulfil the criteria now, or can they still be operating?
No, everyone needs to fulfill the criteria, and this was investigated. Like, anyone that has lodged a complaint about an agent, all right, gets investigated, and the PSRA have a great system for dealing with complaints or inquiries. They send a representative to deal and oversee the complaint. So it's very transparent.
And I suppose that's important to note, because people might give out and complain about the estate agent to friends and family and to anyone who listen. But do many people come forward with complaints to the authority?
People do complain because it's a very emotional experience when they're dealing with property, and they have every right to lodge a complaint, and it's regardless of the complaint. And the PSRA will investigate it in detail and establish whether it's warranted or not. And to be honest with you, 8 or 9 times out of 10, it's not warranted.
Now, why did you get involved in this business? Is there a family history, or did you start out as the first estate agent in your family?
I am the first estate agent in my family, Tara. We grew up in a retail environment. My father and mother were heavily involved in retail. So I grew up selling from a very, very early age. And then the sector that I was involved in retail was peaking, as every part of the retail does. So I had an opportunity then to change my career. And I was selling my house and buying a house back in 2001, when we had September the 11th. And the market began to decrease later that year. And I went to see a house that was on the market, like, say, 30% higher. Then towards the end of the year, they sent me a junior agent to show it. She had no brochure. She didn't know the price of the property. She told me it was between like 50 to 100,000 of a difference. So I came in with an offer well below, negotiated on it, bid against myself, and got it. And after that, I decided, you know what? I can do a little bit more to this business. I love to sell. I love the product. I love the dwellings. And each one of them are different. And it's our job to make it and describe it as best it possibly can be, because this house or any house won't be for everybody, but it's up to us to find somebody for the dwelling that we're selling.
Now, you hire regularly for move homes. So what do you look for? What attributes do you look for in an estate agent when you're hiring?
They have to be eager. They have to be conscientious. They have to be honest. Okay, they have to look presentable and give oneself or their company a very good image. Okay, they have to extend courtesy to buyers, and they have to have so much patience, because estate agency is not a 9-to-5 job. You do not have the weekends off, because we have to show our properties on a Saturday, and we have to show them in the evening when people are working late, etc. We have to accommodate people. So it is a challenging job, and it's very demanding, because expectations are sometimes exceeded. People always overvalue their properties. They always think theirs is worth a little bit more than their neighbours, who achieved a fantastic price just down the road. But hey, they might have a different orientation. They mightn't be, say, finished to the same standard calibre as the other house. But everyone thinks their house is overvalued. So the challenge for an agent is to get a buyer to give the vendor a price that they would be happy with.
Let's talk about trust, Ronan. Your profession score is extremely low in the trust rankings. Why do you think estate agents rank so poorly and consistently rank poorly?
It's a very challenging experience for people, because they start off very eager in their property search. And when they get outbid, and when they don't get properties they want, and they get constantly knocked, they lose respect and they lose enthusiasm, and they also sadly lose trust. Our duty is to get the best price and display a property extremely well, give all of the information. But we have like two or three parties sometimes bidding on a property, so not every one of those will get it. And then even underbidders, who are quite close, are very disappointed that they don't get it, because the only ones that are content are the purchasers and the vendors. And that's two out of maybe a group of 20 or 30 people. So then they don't look at the vendor and blame the vendor. Okay, they just blame the auctioneer, because you know what? Darn it, they didn't get that property. Whose fault is it? It's never their own. It's never down to them continuing to bid, because we respect that they have a budget and they have to stick to that. Mm-hmm. But it comes back to us that 9 times out of 10, it's our fault that they didn't get the property.
I think some people have a perception that there's no transparency in the bidding process. You don't know what other people are bidding. You often hear of people being very suspicious. Are there actually a second bidder at all? Is there a competition happening to try and secure this, and it's going up 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 over the space of a couple of days? Because as we saw, asking prices are kind of out of kilter with the actual sales prices that are achieved.
Tara, with bidding, there's some agents that have it very transparent on their websites. Okay, I don't agree with that, because then there could be people that are sitting in on a Saturday night and they could be bidding on two or three properties. And that brings the price up for all. And they only want one property, but yet they're bidding on two or three. What we do in Move Home Estate Agents is we deal with people on a one-to-one, and we do the bids directly by email. And we promise anybody, all right, that any offer that comes in can be shown, like, by the date and the time and the amount on request.
So if I'm buying a house or trying to buy a house, and you're the estate agent that I'm dealing with, and I'm suspicious that there's, you know, you keep telling me that somebody else is putting in money, I can ask you to show me proof of that.
You are welcome, Tara, to come into my office and I will show you the time of the bidding, because we keep you updated on a daily basis and let you know when the offers come in. So we'll tell you the time and you can make note of the time and you'll see that an email came in.
And Ronan, is that your company practice or is that that's an industry-wide practice?
It's quite common in the industry, but it is our practice and we do it. I would say the majority, Tara, bid online and they have the online bidding platforms and they let people bid on numerous properties and they would have details for same.
Why is there no regulation around that though? Surely there should be some regulation around the transparency so that people can actually build trust in estate agents.
There is transparency because viewers can see online what they're bidding, all right, and what other bids and offers were submitted. So that is transparent.
But not although, industry-wide, they can't.
No, they can request and they can ask for any information and we will provide.
But there's no regulation that the estate agent must provide it, or is there?
There is. Through the PSRA, the Property Service Regulatory Authority, you have to provide the information, okay, through them if requested and a complaint was lodged.
And so, therefore, people need to know, I suppose, that they can ask those questions instead of being suspicious and deciding in their own mind the estate agent is making up this fake bidder. They can actually seek proof of that.
They can, but they always feel suspicious. They always feel that, like if an estate agent says, oh, I've other interest in it, they doubt it. They don't believe it. They want to see it. All right. They want to see then if a person got another offer, who's the other bidder, and they want as much information about the other bidder as possible.
But I suppose it's fair to say that even if they do ask those questions, it's probably not going to happen in fast enough time for the sales cycle. Just finally, Ronan, commission. Agents work on commission. That probably feeds in a little bit to the mistrust as well. That's why people might be suspicious that you're trying to drive up prices, because you earn more money.
The difference when agents and the standard price is about 1% to 1.5%, okay, the difference of a higher amount achieved by about 10,000, right, is not worth sometimes like the amount of effort that people think that it requires, because the market decides the price of a property. And even we let the people bid on it and we achieve a little bit higher, okay, than expectations, it's down to, again, 1% of like 10,000, which is like quite low. So people just have this fixation that we're making a killing. A lot of sales fall through, Tara, and people don't realise that. And we don't get paid then for the first part of the job. We have to go and sell it again. So sometimes we have problem properties that take two or three agreements to be reached to proceed with the sale, and we still only get 1%. So it's not all bling, bling and money, money. It is very, very, very hard work and it's long term because we can't go out and buy our stock, order it in and get it on our shelves.
True.
It takes years for any established agent to get instructions of good quality properties.
Ronan, thanks. Kieran Mulqueen, you spend your life hearing from buyers. Let's start with the simple question. In your opinion, are asking prices connected to reality?
Well, what I'm noticing now is a few years ago, there used to be a handful of estate agents that might say advertise a property way, way below what they know it's worth, which is, by the way, against their code of practice with the PSRA. However, I'm noticing now over the last few years, more and more of them doing it. The reason they do it is they will artificially then stimulate a bidding war. So what happens is, if you say, let's say you go to an estate agent now and you say you want to sell the house, a lot of them now will come in and they'll say, look, it's not where we start, it's where we end up. We'll go in at X amount and then that will get more people interested. And because they know statistically, the more people bidding on a home, the higher the home will go for. Now, that's against the code of conduct for estate agents under the PSRA, but nothing ever happens and none of them are being reprimanded for this. There's never any issues with it. This has just become common practice now, unfortunately.
As I was discussing with Ronan, you know, yes, technically you can make a complaint, but it's unlikely to happen within the sales cycle. If you've got a bidding war and you've got three or four people pitching, it takes a couple of weeks to close the sale. By the time you've lodged your complaint, you've nowhere to go because you've lost the house anyway.
I'm always encouraging people to make complaints if they feel like the estate agent hasn't been professional in their conduct. But people are very reluctant to do it because you're then blacklisted. And if you think of, if you're in a town down the country and there's one estate agent that sells every single home, well, then you're screwed then. You're not going to be able to, they're not going to want to deal with you. And it's tricky like that. I also encourage people to just even leave Google reviews, anything, if you feel like something has been, you know, something dodgy is going on.
How should buyers deal with estate agents, both when they're hiring them to sell their homes and when they're dealing with them in the purchase process?
The vast majority of estate agents are decent, genuine people. It's just there is an unfortunately increasing number of them that are not professional and are not acting professionally. And in my opinion, more of the honest estate agents and the really good estate agents need to be calling out this dishonest behavior, because that is why they are scoring low in the trust thing. Like, there was a lot of victim blaming there from that estate agent. Like, people do not trust them for a reason. It's not just, this isn't just in people's heads. I did a survey, 5,000 people responded to my survey, okay? And only 33% of them were somewhat satisfied with their estate agent. So 67% were not satisfied with their estate agent. And then over the overall process, the whole experience of buying or selling a home in Ireland, only 18% were satisfied. So 72% are not satisfied with the whole process. So what I'll always say to people, like, most of them are genuine, decent people. And as Ronan said, they're working on Saturdays, they're working on in the evenings. It's not like selling Sunset on Netflix. It's not glamorous. So build a good rapport with them. Let them know that you are a genuine buyer. You're not messing around. You've got everything organized. You've got your solicitor ready to go, your surveyor's ready to go, you're fully mortgage approved. And just let them know that you're a genuine buyer. Like, it's the last thing an estate agent wants is for a sale to fall through. So they want people that they can trust and people that they know are going to follow through. So just make yourself as good a candidate for them as possible.
Now, as you said, you've done your survey, you got your 5,000 responses. You're also dealing with messages, I'm sure hundreds of them, on a weekly basis from buyers. What are the general themes that keep coming up?
Yeah, hundreds a day, to be honest. It's become a full-time job. It's just a massive lack of transparency. So, like, again, out of those 5,000, only 6.5% felt the bidding process was very transparent. So that's 94% the other way. So it's just because it's such massive sums of money involved. And you just, there is no way. And I know he said that estate agents are heavily regulated, but they're not, because no estate agent has ever lost their license. From what I can tell from my research on the PSRA website, no estate agent has lost their license for fake bids or artificial bids. And I know they happen because I've seen proof. So the majority of the messages are just stress and frustrations around the bidding process, the whole buying process really in general, like how homes are advertised and a lot of false advertising. But like they're the most stressful things. And then obviously renters as well, who are at risk of being evicted, and people with young families just living on edge, living under a constant state of stress, not knowing if they're going to have a roof over the head next year. So it's very hard to plan long term. You've got kids in school or in childcare or whatever. It's a really depressing market at the moment.
Would regulation help, proper regulation, rather than code of conduct that you kind of, you know, sign up to? Do we need to have laws in place that actually protect buyer, seller and estate agent so that it is a completely transparent process?
I think we need an ombudsperson for the whole sector, for the whole industry. I think we need an ombudsperson where people can actually go to a regulatory body that actually has teeth. I think the bidding process needs to be taken out of the hands of the estate agents. I think that should be done through a notary, which is done in other countries, which is a state-employed employee, and everything is registered, everything is transparent. That's the way I think there needs to be massive changes, and I've loads and loads of solutions on this, but the government don't really seem to be too keen on tackling this thing at the moment. I'm sure they've lots of other fires to be putting out, so they don't seem to be overly worried about the whole process here.
I want to bring Ronan in, and you've heard Kieran's comments there, you know, tougher regulation, maybe move the sales process into the hands of a notary, as will be common practice in other jurisdictions. What's your view?
I wouldn't agree with it in full, Kieran. I do think state agents are just being blamed for the supply in the market, and the supply is a little bit lower than what we need. We need about 40 to 50,000 units every year, and we're not getting those built. And there's a number of issues, but it always comes down to estate agents, and they get blamed for it because we're at the front, we're dealing with the public. We try and extend them every courtesy, give them any information that they need about property. But it's a challenge because the supply is so limited, and it just turns that there's one or two like bad eggs that bring down our reputation. But it's down to supply and demand. And I've gone through the property crash where I was on my own in the office with 80 properties to sell. I wouldn't get calls for days. And then it went on for that for like about 5 years, all right? And everyone thought the property was going to keep on going down and down. And it did. It dropped considerably to the end of 2012, and then it began to grow. And it hasn't gone down since. It's like leveling off at the moment, but the demand is there. So we have not been able to meet that demand, and that's down to the government and the builders. But sadly, us, because we're front of house and dealing with the public, we get the majority of the blame.
And on that, I want to ask you both the same question. Kieran, I'll start with you. The government's housing plan in recent days, promising 300,000 new homes by 2030. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are the government seem to be able to build more housing plans than they can actually build houses. It's just more and more nonsense. I'm getting really fed up with the amount of things they keep releasing and saying they're going to hit all these targets. Roughly over the last kind of 5-6 years of all homes built, say they're hitting around 25,000 to 30,000 homes a year that they're building, only roughly about 1/5 to 1/4 of those homes actually come for sale in estate agent shop windows. And that's the problem. So we're hitting maybe 6,000 to 8,000 homes a year that are actually for sale.
Well, where are the other homes ending up if they're not in estate agents' windows?
They're made up of build-to-rent apartments, they're made up of self-builds, and they're made up of social housing. So very, very, very few are actually homes being built for sale, especially in Dublin, which is where the most of the demand is. So that's as Ronan said, and I agree with him, supply is the major issue there when it comes to prices.
And Ronan, your opinion on the government's latest housing plan? Kieran's not sold.
What's in my mind to say is paper doesn't refuse ink. And governments have come up with numerous plans over the last like number of years. And I won't say that it's right or it's wrong, but you can listen to the people and Kieran's statistics. They're very, very, very disappointed with the outcome that we're now in 2025 and we need 50,000 houses built annually, and it's still at, we'd say, 30, 31,000. So that's a huge shortfall, and that has to be addressed.
And we don't have the builders to build them. And even if we did have the builders to build them, we've nowhere for them to live while they're building the houses that we need further down the stream. Just want to ask you both very quickly and finally, if you were to give me your top three tips for somebody who is buying a home, what would they be? Ronan, you go first.
Always remember the saying, the day you buy is the day you sell. And think of the property without emotion. Let's say you fall in love with it, and you will fall in love with it. And you'll make up the psychological decision within about 11 seconds to 15 seconds. But the day you buy is the day you sell. Think of it, you have to sell it. So then you begin to analyse it, what it is, as opposed to the emotion and the wallpaper and the grounds. So extend courtesy to every agent locally, even if you don't like them, and just be on their list. And even if you're not feeling terribly well on a Saturday morning, just extend the courtesy, say hello, and do and deal with the properties that they're selling, and get as much information out of them as you can.
And Kieran, your top three?
Be organised. Make sure that you're not going to be the reason a sale falls through. So make sure you have your mortgage sorted, you have your mortgage protection ready to go, your surveyor, your solicitor, all of that kind of stuff. That would be my main tip. Next one would just be to make sure that if, let's say you're applying for a mortgage, get your credit report done on the Central Credit Register. It's free. You apply, and I just make sure you've nothing in the background there that's going to stop you getting your mortgage, and you can deal with that ahead of time. And then also, it just build a good rapport, as Ronan said, build a good rapport with the estate agents in the area. Let them know that you are going to be the best person that they're going to deal with.
Ronan Crinion and Kieran Mulqueen, thank you both very much for talking to me here on News Talk Daily today. Look, buying a home, I think, and particularly in Ireland, will always be an emotional affair. It shouldn't be mysterious, though, and maybe if the system was a bit clearer, as we've discussed, and the rules a little fairer, that trust gap would begin to close a little. You can find Kieran's Crazy House Prices podcast in all of the usual places, and you'll find another News Talk Daily on the Go Loud Player, Spotify and Apple bright and early tomorrow. Until then, from me, Tara Duggan, thanks for listening.